We're shedding our masks and breaking down walls. Hell, we may even drop our drawers. That's right. We're going commando with Angela and Dana. Hi, my name is Dana Sardano, and this is Angela DeMarco, and we are going commando. Going Commando is a little show that we put together because we understand the importance of authenticity, the importance of being who you are, embracing that, bringing it to the world, rocking it out.
Yeah.
And we're here doing that. And we hope that by doing so, we give you permission to do the same. So good morning, Miss Angela.
Good morning, Dana. How are you today?
I'm rocking it. From the knees up, I am crushing today. From the knees down, I'm like...
Yeah. Today feels like a good day. It was a little bit of a rough, you know, like weekend, and not terribly rough, but like, you know, just a lot going on.
There
was a lot going on. But all good things, you know what I mean? Just getting through. And it's like, now when the work comes up, I'm like, yeah, bring it. Cause I know how good it feels to be on the other side of it.
Right. Yeah. Being in it though, I'll tell you, you know, everybody talks about the work and the work definitely gets easier the more layers you peel back. But when I get in those places where I have to like work through something, I can know till I'm blue in the face what it is, where it's going, how I'm going to feel. But when you're in it, man, it's like when you're hormonal, it's like, it's really hard to be, logical, rational, realistic. It's really hard. You know, but you're still like, you know, it's like you have a couple drinks. You know not to call the ex, but you're like, I think I left a sock there in 1987. I need to, he's going to wonder whose sock it is. You know, we do that. So, right? So it's funny. It doesn't, I thought I just accidentally called somebody. I was like, oh my. But we do that. We do that. We become, lack clarity. We become a little irrational and all that. But if we could just stay the course and understand that everything is fleeting and that there's always another side, and just to kind of hang tight and work through it, the other side's like,
ooh. Oh my God. Yeah. I know. It's like, it's like going to the dentist. I hate going to the dentist. I have so much trauma from my childhood of going to the dentist, but and I go there and I'm like, I'm a big baby. So I set the groundwork. I'm a big baby.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt as bad as I make it look hurt. So don't worry, you know? And I just sit there and I go, it's almost over. It's almost over. It's almost over. Right. Because you got to do these things. You got to like take care of your teeth. You got to take care of your wellness. You got to do it. So you just got to muscle through, understand it'll be over soon. Cause there's a whole thing going like this in life. Right. So here we are, and I'm kind of on the other side of it.
Yeah, look at her. She's all like, "Oh, it's so easy." Meanwhile, Rob is rubbing the trauma from like 1983 out of my feet, and he's like, "Stop being so jumpy." I'm like, "I'm about to kick your teeth in, so let's not."
And I'm like, I had a conversation with my 3-year-old self, and it was really sweet.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! So today, very excited.
Very, very excited. So we're in the season 6 of, and we're talking about balance. This is all about balance. And we're kind of speaking along the concepts of Dana's book, Veda Finds Her Crown, which is a sweet children's story for, you know, adolescent ages, children. Adults can read it too. Obviously, you can read it to younger children, but it's really to draw in children, help them kind of understand the chakra system and how it works and all that good stuff. And Dana will definitely speak to it better. But so we're going to spend this season going through each chakra and really kind of talking about the age of resonance, the practicality of it, how to do the work there. And we're going to spend 2 episodes per chakra. So we're going to first talk about how we're all banged up in one, and then we're going to talk about unbanging or rebalancing.
Say it.
Unbanged. You can't say that. So I'm really excited. So Dana, if you want to give us like a pre-intro, whatever, just jump right in.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, we're talking about Veda Finds Her Crown, and I created a deck of cards. It's hard to see with the light. A deck of cards with all of the characters. And then each card has like, an exercise that you could do and activities and stuff like that. But with each chakra, the first card, I always give a description so I can explain. But when I was looking through, like, what am I going to pull later? What exercise are we going to do? I found this card and I'm just going to read this because I think it really sums it up well.
Okay.
So the root chakra, basically basic needs such as food, shelter, safety, comfort, and belonging affect the root chakra. When my root chakra is balanced, I have a healthy physical body and I feel safe, strong, and supported in my life. I feel beautifully connected to my body, my human life, and the earth. When my root chakra is imbalanced, I have an unhealthy physical body and I do not feel safe, strong, or supported in my life. I feel disconnected, ungrounded, and cut off from the world. Now, when I created these cards, I created them for children, but I want to add another piece. The long and the short is your root chakra represents feelings of safety, security, and being grounded. End of story. And the greatest age of resonance for your root chakra are between the years of 0 and 7. So in your early formative years, because your formative years are like 0 to 14, really, but your early formative years, that is when you develop those feelings of safety, those feelings of being grounded, those feelings of security. And what happens is if you have instances in your life, it doesn't have to be a trauma. It could just be the way your foundation was being created, or lack of foundation for that matter being created, then everything else builds on that. And that's what happens. And many of us, probably close to all of us, are walking around with some sort of crack in our foundation. And that is why we have irrational fears. That is why we behave certain ways that are not grounded. That is why people are insecure. And then that is why we behave as a result of those feelings. Make sense?
Completely makes sense, you know. And one thing you taught me a while ago was it doesn't have to be, like you said, like a major trauma, you know. It doesn't have to be like sexual abuse as a child, but mm-hmm. it could be not being picked up somewhere, because it's from the perspective of the child. So 100%. We can go back and rationalize, oh, well, the mom was running late or whatever it might be. But as the child, you're sitting there waiting on the curb for your parents to pick you up and no one's coming and the school doors are locked. I mean, yep. this must have happened to me because it's very specific.
I know, very, very specific. And the janitor was giving me the hairy eyeball and the teacher shut the lights off. Hey, wait.
This is like before, you know, we're Gen X. So this was like, yeah. Hey, kid, hang out on the street.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, but it's really what's really interesting, I find, about that, about the root chakra. You and me, we are the perfect examples of two completely different development of the root chakra, two completely different 0 to 7s, mm-hmm. right? We have so many similar experiences, but that one is the one that's like the most differentiating between the two of us, right?
Yeah, and I just want to point out what's interesting about it is that that's where we balance each other. That's right outside our Venn diagram.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. It's really, really, really cool stuff. And I was actually, when I was thinking about today, I was thinking about, you know, that's why we find the partners that we find, so we can learn these things. I look at my kids. They have, I mean, they obviously have the same nurture. They come in the same home, they come from the same home, but they are so different. They're here to teach one another. Yeah. But people talk about nature versus nurture all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Nature is your wiring. You know what I mean? Like, I am a certain way. I'm wired a certain way. I came into this world with certain gifts and certain, you know, imbalances, whatever it is. But my nurture is how I was raised. So when I have a home with me and my brother, we have the same nurture. It's our nature that kind of dictates how we handle all of this. You know cool. what I mean? And whether yeah. or not we work together to grow and learn or whatever it is. So you and me, we have, we're similar, but we have different natures, but our nurture is completely different. So let's talk about yours for a little bit. And then we'll talk about mine and how it's affected us in the long run. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. So from 0 to 7. So I would say, Sorry, I got a little distracted. I got a crack in my little Christian mug. It made me so sad. Okay.
Come back.
Focus. Focus. Talking about my childhood.
Let me look at everything else, but.
The avoidance of doing the work. Okay. So totally detached emotionally in a nutshell. By the time I was 7 years old, my mom was on her third marriage. My dad lived in California and then lived in Rochester. I grew up on Long Island. So my dad, they got divorced when I was 2. And I know some of the stories of how the neglect, but my first memory was like around 3. Like I can remember some stuff. And it had to do with my mom's second husband. I lived in like 6 different places, you know, jumping from this apartment to this home, to this home, to this home. So, and my mom was so young. She was 21 when she had me. And so she was just, can you imagine?
Oh my God. I'd be like, hold my beer. I'm about to birth this baby.
Pretty much.
Wait, I don't want to get ashes on it. Oh my God.
They smoked when they were pregnant with us. I know.
My brother and I used to beg my mother, please roll down the window. We'd be in the back seat with the crack in the window. They didn't know.
My mom, I remember when I had Maddie like years later and I was going to breastfeed and she's like, I didn't want to breastfeed. I wanted to have a drink. Like we didn't breastfeed. So I basically, and that was like my life was just, there was no foundation. There was no security. I didn't know what was going on. I was passed around from grandparent to grandparent because mom was going back to school, working full time and dad wasn't around. I think at 5 years old, I was put on a plane to go visit my dad in California by myself. Like I got my little wings. I got to talk to the pilot, you know, super cool. They had a program, stick your kid on the airplane. And it was just that was it, but it felt normal. Cause what do I know? Right.
What do you know? Yeah. And also, I know we start to learn and have realizations about it as we get a little older and we'll talk about sacral another time, but also you had this understanding about finances too. I mean, that's your foundation, even though you didn't understand it till later, it's always been there.
Yeah. 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 Like my dad was always broke. Always working 2 jobs. He was a social worker and he bartended on the weekends. So I would go to his mom's house, my nanny's house, for the weekend, but he would be bartending in the city. He'd be sleeping late on Saturday, go back to the city Saturday night. So I never saw like either parent, you know. Yeah. I was raised by my grandparents. And then we grew up in a nice town and I always felt like we had, but we didn't I always felt less than because there were so many kids that had bigger houses, intact families, vacations, all those things. Like people were going to the Hamptons or Cancun and I was going to visit my dad in Rochester, you know.
And the way you witnessed your family spend money too. You always had everything, but there was always a crying of poverty, like in the subtext.
In the subtext. Yeah. Yeah. It was always like, well, let's just, you know, give you the best genes and make sure you fit in, you know. And what was my grandmother's thing was always have that one staple piece.
I remember you telling me that when we first started talking again. I was like,
always have like the purse or the pearls. Everything else could be shit, but just that one staple piece.
Yeah.
And I was like, now if I have something beautiful, it's because like I want to wear it. You know what I mean? Because I love it. Not because I'm trying to prove anything. But that was like kind of just how we grew up. So.
Well, that's you said it perfectly because you were taught that you had to prove your worth. You were taught that.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting too. And I want to share just the mine.
Yeah.
But to see how it created these adults, these, you know, how like this experience created certain behaviors as an adult. But my circumstance was the exact opposite of yours. So I grew up in an intact family from 0 to 12, but I lived in the house that I grew up in, same house, same everything, till I was 14. So my parents separated when I was 12. I lived there till I was 14. And I had, everything was structured. Everything was organized. Everything had consequence. Mm-hmm. Very consistent with that. And my father, we lived in Jersey. My father was like, it was an exec in New York, and he used to commute to the city and come home the same time, because he took, you know, the car to the bus, to the train, to the, you know, but he would come home same time every night. So it was like, we set the table at the same exact time. My mother made dinner at the same exact time. There was always dinner. We always sat, we always ate together. We watched the same shows after dinner, like everything. The weekend you're shaking your head, but everything was organized. Money was never an issue. But at the same time, I always understood the value of money, because my uncle, my father's brother, did very, very well for himself, self-made man, the whole created the empire, whatever. So I understood there was wealth there. My father played by the rules, went to school, got his MBA, did all that stuff. You know, again, was the exec. And, you know, there was no concern about money. But because they were self-made men, they always understood the value. So it was very, very clear that you worked, that, you know, you went to school, that you did these things. And there was, again, that organization. As a result of that, let me just, one more piece. Holidays, always with the extended family. Like, again, everything was very predictable. I felt extremely safe. Mm-hmm. I grew up to be extremely grounded. Felt very secure. Like, I remember even at a young age, as much as I hated my father most of the time, at a young age, I remember actually thinking, I feel so safe with them. And when I say them, especially when my father and brother and his brother were together, it was like exponential. So there was that groundedness. But here's the thing. Because they, the adults in my life, my father specifically in this case, was extremely imbalanced. He was volatile. Everything was a little too T-crossing, I-dotting. Mm-hmm. I grew up imbalanced. So even though I was grounded to a fault. So I worked too hard. Like, one of the things about the root chakra is about your physical nature. Mm-hmm. I beat my body up to keep it healthy to a point that, I would run with double knee braces, because that's what you did. Because there was always discipline. There was always, like, I learned self-discipline to a fault. Mm-hmm. So even though my root chakra, I would say, was not intact, but all of the components, safety check, you know, grounding check. It was so much so that it affected the other aspects of my life that I had to reverse a lot of that, because it's really driven, like, my achieving and my doing and my, you know, becoming was driven by a sense of fear and lack of self-worth, because if I didn't, then I wasn't good enough. If I didn't achieve, I wasn't. So all of that, everything that I've accomplished in my life has always been, the foundation has been of a place of fear and not balanced and not love.
Right. And to put a like fine point on why it was so opposite, why we're so opposite, is because I grew up with no safety, no discipline. I was playing by myself. Like, if I think about those memories I have, I'm always playing by myself in the basement. I got in trouble for putting a penny in the socket when I was like 3. And there was like I got in trouble because there was a stain on the wall. And I'm like, I remember putting my hair in grape juice in Montessori preschool. I wanted to see if my hair would turn purple, and I got smacked and put it on the corner. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't understand. Nobody took the time to explain why I shouldn't do things I should do. They just got mad at me for doing things. So I never knew what I was doing wrong. I never really understood. There was no like expectation set for me, just accept to be a good girl, to entertain, to be like the look how beautiful my daughter is. Look at my little puppet. You know, growing up, every time I visited my dad, he brought all these people over, strangers I would have to sit and have dinner with, because he wanted to show how wonderful I am.
Yeah. So you learned. And it's funny, look at us in our jobs. You're all about the look, you know what I mean? Look what it looks like. Yeah. And I'm all about, no, it's gotta be the root. It's gotta be the foundation. And that's why we balance each other so well. Yeah. But another thing, for any parents that may be watching that have children under the age of 7, the one thing that I learned, I don't know how I knew this innately, because I didn't learn it being a teacher. I understood it and brought it to my teaching. But expectation for children, especially the younger ones, expectation, consistency, structure, consequences, good or bad, reward, consequence, whatever it is, consequence on a consistent basis for behaviors to help guide and teach them is crucial. So I had all of that and it served me, but I had to bring it back into a balance because it was extreme.
Right.
Angela did not have that. And she has felt without anchor your whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't give, I parented Maddie's 18 now, but I parented Maddie at this age, the same way I was parented, in a sense that like, I loved her. And I remember that's where I started to realize that the imbalances were there, right? From the way I grew up, because of how much I loved her and how much attention I gave to her and how much I, you know, like it was just, I was like starting to realize and see the mirror. But with Christian now, I have the opportunity to change that. Right. So Christian's 5 and a half and you're helping me like consequences, you know, just expectations. That's why we're doing so well with the divorce, because every day is like, okay, here's what's going to happen tomorrow. Here's what you do in this situation. Like I'm helping him and he's able to communicate. Like, how do I do? Like, he's starting to ask. So now if he's whining and I'm like, please stop your whining. He's like, I don't know how. I'm like, okay. So it's awesome because we can have the conversation about it. And that's what lacked. I was always dragged around my whole mm-hmm. life. And that's why I picked men that dragged me around, because I just,
of course.
Right. So, but I like just being like, okay, here's what you're doing. Here's where you're going. Here's who you're hanging out with. There was never any like, what do you want to do? So it's just really cool to have this. And it does help so, so, so much.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, Christian had a little meltdown. Took him to flight. We got a ball from the crane thing. It was so exciting. And then sitting a little while later, he goes, I want one with a smiley. And I'm like, we could try again. I don't care. We had extra credits and we didn't get it. So we started freaking out. So I was like, okay, this ball is going away. For 5 days, you have to do things to show me that you're not a spoiled brat. And we had a whole thing about it. So the ball is sitting up where he can see it. And we have stickies that he gets to cross off 5 days and he can earn like a day if he doesn't. But I was like, you were so happy when you got that ball. And that's the thing, I'm working on the spoiled bratness stuff with Christian.
But people don't realize, well, first let me just touch on the spoiled brat thing. I was telling Rob, you had that thing on St. Patrick's Day. We don't have to get into the details of it, but it was like a spoiled thing. And I was telling Rob about it. And Rob's response was, that's all kids do that. And I'm like, all kids do that until they are corrected and taught a different way. Mm. When we accept that all kids do that, then we have adults who do that. So let's not just dismiss all kids do that, which leads to the point that I wanted to make about how we parent. And for those of us, again, Angela and I just described two completely different upbringings that were both out of balance. Mm-hmm. And that imbalance, if we are not aware of it, we bring that imbalance to the parenting of our children. And Angela's heard me say a billion times, we parent from our own dysfunction. We parent from our own dysfunction. You know, I am fucking crazy aware of it. And I still catch myself. Like, we're at the dinner table and like Rob will raise his voice to the girls and I'm all like, hot water burn baby, hot water burn baby. Because I'm like, I don't want you to do to them. But he's like, they're not even phased. You're the one under the table sucking your thumb. I'm like, maybe that's something I should look at. You know? But what we do is we parent from our own dysfunction. So let's just look at the generations for a second. The Gen X kids, you know, grow up in the 70s and the 80s, grew up into most of the millennial parents. You know, let me rephrase that. So though most of them have millennial kids. I was saying that wrong. So the Gen X have millennial kids. I have Gen Z kids because I had them much older, but they have millennial kids, right? So the millennials, because the Gen X were neglected or abused, the pendulum from neglect and abuse swings all the way over here and what I call the puppy syndrome. Mm-hmm. How do you feel, puppy? Do whatever you want, puppy. You know what I mean? You know, they're leaving the park. Come on, puppy. I don't want to. Okay, puppy. And I'm all like, the teacher in me just wants to bang people's heads together. But that's the Gen X in me. So what happened is the pendulum. So now you have a whole generation of, I shouldn't speak for everybody, but in general terms, I don't need any hate mail. But in general terms, there's more entitlement.
Yeah.
So now the pendulum's over here. So now the next generation, hopefully the pendulum swings back a little bit. So if we're not paying attention and we parent, if I'm super soft and gentle with my children because I got beat up, I may be too soft and gentle. So if we can remember that just the basic consistency, like we mentioned, structure, set expectations, hold them accountable, those basics, put whatever stink you want on it.
Yeah.
But those basics set a strong root chakra, safety, security. Kids are going to fight you, but they feel safe when you tell them no. They feel safe when you hold them accountable. I could see Yaya, who gets in a lot more trouble than Nala, I could see her appreciation after we have a bit of a showdown, after I hold her accountable. Because she's young. She can't do it herself.
Right.
She'll say she can, but she can't. She's a child, and it's our job as the adults to hold them accountable. Now, for us, because we're going to talk about this in the next episode, there's questions that we should be asking ourselves. Do you mind if I just throw a couple out there? Leave people something to think about?
Yeah, yeah. Think about it for next week. And yeah. if you think about it and you ask the questions, if you guys put some of this stuff in the comments, we'll address them at the next episode. So if there's like a how, why, what, where, whatever you want to mention, feel free to even email us. I'll put the email address, which is hello@uniquelyphenom.com. Send us an email if you want us to address anything. Seriously, this is the time you get to use Dana, like, for free. So take advantage. It's good shit.
Like my college mantra. This is the time to use Dana for free. Come on, yeah. Come on.
I probably could have said that better. Sorry.
For free. Okay. So I pulled them up on my screen because this is the stuff that, like, when I work with people, like, this is the stuff that comes up. But just a couple for security. Like, am I insecure around others? Do I try too hard to be liked or accepted? What are my go-tos for being liked or accepted? Do I think I'll be accepted without leaning on those go-tos? Just something to think about. And we're going to get into these, you know, in next episode. Safety. Do I feel I have no control over my exterior circumstances? Do I fear the unknown? Do I worry about what will become of me? Grounding and stability. Do I feel like if I don't control things, they will get away from me? And I know you're working through a lot of that stuff and you've overcome a lot, but these are things that you're probably like, oh my God, oh my God. Here's one. How is my physicality? Is my body healthy and strong? Do I nurture it by giving what it needs to function properly? See, I was the opposite. I would starve myself because in my head, I thought that that was a certain thing. I would beat myself up physically, you know, with workouts because I thought. So, but a lot of people, you know, they're unhealthy, they're smoking, they're drinking, they're doing whatever, they're abusing their bodies.
Dana, I don't exercise because I have no discipline. And I know I need to. I even bought, like, you know, an Instagram app. Like I paid for a membership to something. I'm like, I could do 15 minutes a day and I have the meal plan. It's all sitting in my thing. It's been a month and I haven't done anything because I don't have the discipline. So it's one of those things that I need to work on because my body is telling me, like, as I'm falling in the street because my legs are getting weak, like, my body's telling me I have to exercise. So I have the intention. I have the desire.
That's something. That what you just said is so telling. And our entire health and wellness, you know, the what's it called? The business of health and wellness is preying on people like you. Because I have seen things, you know, because they come up in our cookies and our algorithms. And I'm like, oh, look at that. I'm like, I got to pay. Yeah, fuck that. Because I have the discipline.
Right.
If I want to change something, you told me that, like, I was looking good or I was looking like I was popping because 2 weeks ago I decided my eating habits aren't working. I'm just going to flip them.
Yeah.
And I do it.
Yeah.
Because I have the discipline.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Yeah.
I have the intention. I do the things. And then I put them off. It's like teaching me how to be organized. My to-do list is amazing. Like, I can't go do anything without it now. You taught me how to do that. I don't know how to be organized. Or I didn't.
Well,
I'm learning.
Yeah. No, you're getting it, kid. This is and just for balance sake, you know, I've taught Angela a lot in the act of grounding and organization and structure, but I have had to work on, and she's helped me let go a little bit. I err on the side of caution, right? To let go a little bit. Like, she approaches things with me and she's like, just don't shit on it. Just give it some thought before you shit on it. I'm like, then you got to email me, because if you're talking face to face, I'm going to be like, all over.
I've learned, like, just come to me. And then I can't wait because I'm like, what'd you think of that?
Well, that's what happened the other day when we were talking, because I said, I need to think about it. And I could feel it in my chest. I'm like, I need to think, because everything's going to be a big shit, you know, big turd sandwich on it. You know what I mean? And we didn't, and you just kind of did a little like, well, you know, selling it because you can't wait. And then it turned into a little bit of a shit show. But yeah, so we're really, really good. Rob and I as well, but we're really good at balancing each other's imbalances. And that's why these people come into your life. Mm-hmm. We get angry at them typically and reject them because they bring things out in us. But if we're willing to learn and to grow and to become more balanced, then those people that come into our life that are complementary and sometimes contradictory to our inclinations, you know, we should embrace them and be grateful for them because they're assisting us in becoming more balanced.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Good way to leave it. I like it.
I thought so. That's a good one. Felt really good what I was saying. All right.
It's a wicked smart. Use data. It's free. No. Okay. All right. I know we added a new one, so let's see if we got it.
Should I say what it is before we do it, or
no,
what if it doesn't come up? Okay. Okay.
You
ready?
Just have to wait till it comes up.
Okay.
You... Go.
Stay fresh, cheeseman. We have no synchronicity. Let's try it again. Stay fresh,
cheesebags. Do it.
Stay fresh, cheesebags. Goodbye.